If you could, turn to Psalm 18, 16 through 19. Psalm 18, 16 through 19. And Chase told me we're not live today, and that's good, so I could just be off script and just say whatever I want to today, can't I? Some of y'all are getting nervous right now, ain't you? And then I will reference Luke 19, 10 if you want to make mark of that in your Bible today. But I've got a beautiful wife who helps me and is there for me, and we have parts that we play at our house, and you know, I'm part of husband and father, and we have different things that we do at home. And I've got two beautiful kids. Griffin, he's 6, almost 7, and then Reeves, my littlest one, he just turned 2 last week, and so he's kind of round faced and has a little dent in his chin, and when you squeeze him, he smells like a honey bun, you know. How many of you like a honey bun in here? Go ahead and be honest. Y'all know I like a honey bun, right? I'm built by honey bun, all right? I love those boys, and I wouldn't give those boys up for anything, you know. But a few years back when the pandemic and everything was going crazy, and do we even talk about that anymore, right? We don't talk about that time no more, do we, right? But during that time, you know, they were, you know, telling us we had to stay home a good bit, and so we were at home. And I don't consider myself a homebody, but when you're at home a lot, like, you got to play your part at the house. And how many of you have a part to play? Men in the room, just raise your hand, men in the room. Do you know your part? Well, if you don't worry. Your wife will tell you what your part is, right? And so if you don't know your part, just ask your wife. She'll tell you. I do things at my house, like I take the trash out of my house. Like, you know, that's what somebody's over here clapping for it, right? And a lot of times it gets stacked up. Let me tell you how I do the trash at my house. And I know there's nobody in here like this. All right, got quiet in here. But I'll go up to my trash can, and when I see it's full, I go ahead and just press it down a little bit more. I know I ain't got nobody in here like that, right? All right, I call it being like conserving, you know. Then my wife calls it being lazy, all right? And I'll just press it down, and buddy, I'll press that thing down multiple times until you can't even get it out of the trash can. How many of you know what I'm talking about, right? And it takes 2 people to get it out of the trash can. How many of you know what I'm talking about, right? You get somebody in there, and they're holding the can, and you're trying to pull it, and eventually you just rip the bag, and everything just gets strewed out on the floor. How many of you know what I'm talking about, right? Well, if I don't get to the trash and I don't take it out on time, here's what will happen. My wife, Brittany, if she'll get that trash out of the trash can, and she'll somehow get it out without ripping the bag, and she'll tie it up real neat, and she'll take it over there to the door, and she'll sit it out there on the steps of the garage, and she'll close the door. And she's telling me 2 things. One, you're slipping on your part. You didn't get to it in time, so I took care of it because you didn't do your part. Another thing she's telling me is, I hope you trip and break your neck. That's what she's saying, right? I know we ain't got anybody in here like that, right? Another part that I play at my house, I do the yard work, all right? I actually enjoy cutting grass. I like to cut the grass. I like to weed eat. I like to edge. I like to do all that. It's relaxing to me, right? And I get out there, and that's my part, all right? Brittany's not an outdoors girl. She don't want to cut the grass. She wants me to do that, so I play my part at the house, all right? And so I love doing yard work, but I don't like doing flower bed work. And how many of you know what I'm talking about? There's a difference in cutting grass and doing the flower beds, all right? You do flower bed work, you got to squat. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I don't have the body type to squat, all right? If I squat this down, I might not get it back up. You know what I'm saying, right? And I'm out there, and I'm home during this time, and I'm out there, and I'm doing the yard work, and I'm out there, and I'm having to do the flower bed work, and I'm pulling the weeds, and I'm getting it all ready, and I trim the hedges, you know, and I get that looking good, and I get it all cleaned up and put away, and I step back, and, you know, I just want to admire my work a little bit, you know, and I think, man, that looks good. It looks good. because I'm out there and I'm admiring my work and just enjoying my day. But then all of a sudden, I hear my wife run through the garage of our house, and she's yelling, like frantically yelling, as loud as she can, and she's saying, "Brooks, oh my gosh, is Griffin out here with you?" I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And as a father, my heart dropped because he wasn't out there with me. I hadn't seen him. And I said, "No, he's not out here." And she said, "Are you sure?" I said, "No, I haven't seen him." And she said, "Oh my gosh," she said, "he was playing around the door." And he was at that age where he was getting really interested in open doors. And she said, "He kept opening the door, and I kept pulling him off the door, and he kept trying to get out." And she said, "My phone rang," and she said, "It was an important call. I had to pick it up." And she said, "I mean, I was on the phone just a couple of minutes." She said, "Before I knew it, I looked up, the door was open, he was gone, and he's not anywhere in the house." And at the neighborhood that we were living in at the time, all I could think about was there was a main road that ran by that neighborhood where people had literally been killed outside of our neighborhood. The traffic is so bad and cars are whipping up and down it. And I thought, oh my gosh, if he gets out there to that main road, he's going to get killed. That's a bad feeling as a parent, ain't it? And you know what I did as his father? I began to run. I began to run through the neighborhood. I began to call his name. That's what I did. "Griffin, Griffin," just hoping he would hear my voice. I'll never forget, there was a little cul-de-sac, you know, down in the corner. You could take a right, but if you took a left, it was a cul-de-sac. And I got down there near that cul-de-sac, and I'm glad we're not live today because I don't want this person to hear me tell this story today. But I go, and I get to that cul-de-sac, and there was a girl down there, a lady that lives in that cul-de-sac, and she was the neighborhood Karen. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what a Karen is? And if your name is actually Karen in here, I'm sorry they've come up with this terminology for your name. She was the busybody in the neighborhood. President of the Homeowners Association. How many know what I'm talking about? She wanted to know when you were going to pay your dues. You know what I'm saying? Always out, always nosy. And she was out doing her part, right, that day. And she says, "Hey, Brooks." And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Are you looking for your kid?" I said, "Yes, I'm looking for my son, Griffin. Have you seen him?" "Yeah, I saw him." "Well, did you get him?" "No, he was too quick for me." I said, "Well, where'd he go?" She points out to the main highway. I begin to run even faster. Now I'm running, panicked, calling his name. And I get, and I take a left at the stop sign to go out towards that main road, and I hang the left, and I go, and all of a sudden I see it. Another lady in our neighborhood, she was out doing her part. The walker. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Always out walking. You know, I could probably do a little bit more of that, right? But we're not going to stay on that for a minute, right? She was out doing her part. She was walking. Always out walking. And I see her, and then all of a sudden I look out by her side, and I see two little feet, and they're just a-kicking. And I recognize them little white legs anywhere, right? And she said, "Hey, Brooks, isn't this your son?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, I got him right before he crossed the main road." Boy, I was thankful for somebody doing their part. And she takes him and she sits him down on the ground, and when she sat him down, he made eye contact with me. And when he saw me, he knew he was in the wrong. He shouldn't have ran away. But when he saw me, this is what he did. He began to run to me. And here's what I did. I began to run to him with my arms open. And when I got him, I wrapped him up. And I tell you what I didn't do. I didn't discipline him in that moment. I didn't holler at them. I didn't yell at them. I didn't spank them. I didn't correct them. I didn't do any of that. You know what? The correction could come later. We could go over that stuff later on. You want to know what I did when I found him? I began to love him. I began to kiss his face. I began to tell him how important he was to me and how much I loved him. Can I tell you today that the Father has not one time been disappointed in you? Can I tell you what the Father's doing right now? He's running and he's looking for the lost today. He's looking for his lost sons and daughters. And you have a part to play in this. See, some of you come in here today and you're saying, I don't know what my assignment is. Your assignment is to find the lost. Psalm 18, 16 through 19 says, he reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. And just like my sons who bring me so much joy, who bring me so much delight, I want you to hear me say this today if you don't hear me say anything else. He delights in you. He delights in your life. You bring him joy. Everything you are, your personality, the way you talk, the way you look, everything about you, you are a creation of the Creator. You are His taste. You are what He likes. You bring Him joy. He delights in you. He delights in you today. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That's why He came. That's why He came. You have a part to play. I'll never forget, me and Brittany, we were youth pastoring in Hendersonville, and we didn't have any kids at this point. And I'll never forget, I came out on a Wednesday night, and we had a little welcome center where they served coffee on Wednesday nights. And I went out there, and they had a thing called a sign-up sheet. How many know what I'm talking about, right? And this sign-up sheet, I never forget the header on it. It said, white water rafting trip. And I thought to myself, oh, yeah. It piqued my interest, right? You know? White water rafting trip, and it told where we were going and said we were going to the Ocoee River, and out in parentheses it said Olympic course. And I thought, oh, okay, you know. I have the body of an Olympic athlete, you know. Why would I not want to sign up for this, right? I went ahead and signed up. How many know what I'm talking about, right? How many of you have been white water rafting before? Okay, yeah, good. Awesome. I'm about to tell you about my experience here with it. I went ahead and signed my name up, and I thought to myself, I wonder if I should sign Brittany up for this. And I thought, maybe I should go home and ask her first, right? And then I thought, no, why would she not want to go rafting with me, right? So I went ahead and signed her up for it. Go ahead, I'm going to tell you something, men, don't do that, all right? Right? I went home that night and I said, hey, Brittany, I said, hey, listen, I signed us up for the trip. And she said, what trip? I said, the white water rafting trip. She said, white water, what are you talking about? What white water rafting trip? I said, the church is going on a white water rafting trip next Saturday and I signed us up for it. And she said, oh, no, I'm not going. And I said, oh, yeah, you are. I signed us up. She said, have you ever been white water rafting? I said, no. She said, well, if you had, you wouldn't have signed us up for that trip. And I said, well, Brittany, if we signed up, we can't just not show up, right? We're the youth pastor of the church. Because this is one thing I can't stand. I can't stand a bunch of church people who sign up for something but then don't show up for it. When's Pastor Ed coming back again? Y'all are looking at your calendar right now. When's he going to be back, right? I can't stand a bunch of church people who get hyped up one service and say, I'm in, I'm all in. And even give the suggestion. Boy, church people are good at giving suggestions. Suggest, but didn't want somebody else to do it. I have a rule. If you suggest it, you signed yourself up for it with me, right? All right. I can't stand church people who sign up and then don't show up, because people who sign up but don't show up, we call those pretenders. And I hope you're not a pretender in here. Just because you go to church on Sunday and maybe show up occasionally on Wednesday night, that don't mean anything. That ain't serving. I'm talking about doing your part every day. If you sign up and you show up, we call those contenders. So you're either pretending or you're contending for this thing. And I want to ask you a question today. Which one are you? But I'm going to tell you, he does have a part for you to play. But it's up to you whether or not you're going to get in that part and do it or not. That's good preaching. I don't care where you're at. So I said, we signed up. We got to show up. So the morning of the trip happened, I got up. I put my swimming trunks on. I put my T-shirt on. I put my feet into some slides, you know, because I'm making a fashion statement, right? And I go out there and I get in the truck and I'm waiting on Brittany, and she was taking her time, you know. And I tell you what I did. I thought, well, it's getting close to time to go, so maybe I should honk the horn. So I go ahead and honk the horn. Men in the room, don't do that. I'm giving you some marriage tips today. Don't honk the horn at your wife. And while we're at it, don't dry off with the decorative towels. All right, I'm giving you some pointers today, right? So I honked it, and she still didn't come out. And I thought, maybe I should honk it again, right? So I honked it a second time. Boy, really don't do that, right? I'll never forget, she comes out of the house, and she makes eye contact with me. And she never broke eye contact on the way to the truck. She just looked. Gets in the truck, sits down, and looks at me, and I said, are you ready to go? And she didn't say anything. And I said, oh, you are. Okay, great, right? And we get to the church, and there it is in the middle of the church parking lot, the church van. How many know what I'm talking about? The 15-passenger van that had never worked right. You know what I'm talking about, right? The church van, that's where dreams go to die, all right? It's kind of like Walmart, you know what I'm saying, right? Where dreams go to die. You get in, the armrests are broke, and there's a French fry from 1987 in the carpet. Still good, still edible, you know. Smells like death and feet, you know what I'm saying? The ghost of you trips past in that church van, you know what I'm saying? Nothing but the best for our people, right? Windshield wipers don't work. Maybe it won't rain on the way, you know what I'm saying? We get on the church van. My wife, she goes, where's your bag at? I said, what bag? She said, your bag. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. She said, for your clothes. I said, I've got clothes on. She said, no, you got a swimsuit on. I said, okay, what about it? She said, what are you going to do when you get wet? I said, I'm not going to get wet. She said, what do you mean you're not going to get wet? I said, we're going rafting. We're not going swimming. She said, you are the dumbest person I have ever met. Get on the van. We got on the van. We were taken out. We're on the way to the Ocoee River. Got about a 2 or 3 hour drive. And I'm eating a bag of Funyuns and a Slim Jim and drinking a Sun Drop, enjoying myself in the middle of this van, you know. And I look out the window and I see some trees and we're getting closer. And all of a sudden I see a little gap in the trees. I see water going like this. I think, oh, okay, wow. And then all of a sudden I noticed some things. I noticed some rafts with nobody on it that were half deflated, thrown up into the trees. And I thought, oh, okay, wow. And then over the crest of the river, I see it. A raft coming over the top full of people, and they're all white knuckling the raft. looking like they're scared out of their mind. And I announced to the whole van, I said, hey guys, look at these idiots right here on this raft. And my wife turned around and looked at me and she said, what do you mean idiots? She said, that's what we're going to do. All of a sudden, I didn't want to go whitewater rafting anymore, right? You get into this thing called reaching the lost and doing ministry, and I'm going to tell you sometimes, you think, oh, maybe I shouldn't have signed up for this. And I definitely shouldn't have showed up. I started getting a little bit nervous. How many know what I'm talking about? We get to the place where you go to raft, and there's a gravel parking lot. We get out, and they give us a group number, and I'm standing there in the group, and I'm sitting there, and there's a guy in our group named Travis, and Travis is standing there, and I noticed something. Travis didn't have a swimsuit on. He had on blue jean shorts. He had on a brand new pair of Air Force One tennis shoes. Some of y'all don't know what that is, but he had them. They were brand new out of the box. He had a polo on. He had it unbuttoned all the way down, and he had a little necklace on and was intertwined in his chest hair, you know. And he's standing there, and he's ready, you know. He's looking right, and I said, hey, Travis, where's your swimsuit at, buddy? And he said, you know, I didn't bring one. And I said, okay. He said, yeah. He said, we're going rafting. We're not going swimming. I said, well, buddy, that's what I said, you know. And he said, yeah, I don't even own a swimsuit. I said, why is that? He said, I don't know how to swim. Okay. I said, hey, Brittany, I found the biggest idiot in the world. It's not me, it's Travis, right? And about that time, I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, I see this guy, and he's in these rafting clothes. He looks like something out of Bass Pro Shop, you know, and he's got his water shoes on, and he's got a helmet on and a vest, and he's strutting down through the parking lot. And he's looking, and all of a sudden, he looks at our group, and all of a sudden, he makes eye contact with me. And I looked at somebody, I said, who's that? And they said, well, that's one of the guides. That's one of the guys that'll be on our raft with us. And I said, oh, okay. And he makes eye contact with me, and he looks at me, and he begins to smile a little bit. And I promise you, he began to lick his lips. And he looked at me like, oh, yeah, big boy, you're mine today, right? I thought, I hope we don't get this guide. They called our name, and that's the exact guide that we got, right? And I thought, great. We go over to this little area, and we said, we're going to do a tutorial on our rafting trip before we start. And he goes over there, and I see this little raft sitting there, and I said, what's that? He said, that's the raft. And I said, oh, man, where's the rest of it at? We don't have enough raft, you know. He said, well, that's it. And I said, okay. And he said, all right, everybody get down on the ground on your back. Get down on my back. He said, all right, lift your feet in the air. And I thought, oh, my gosh. And I felt like I was in a birthing class. I saw my feet for the first time. And the first thing he said is, when you get thrown out of the raft, not a hey, how you doing, not a good to see you today, glad you made it. The first thing he said was, when you get thrown out of the raft. Can I tell you, in his word, he tells us there will be trouble. It ain't if, it's when. And can I tell you, the just journey of life, it's rough. And I'm going to tell you, there will be trouble. You will get thrown around from time to time. When you get thrown out of the raft, you're going to put your feet out in front of you. You're going to face your body in the direction the water is flowing so you can kick off the rocks. Just begin to do that. Kick off the rocks. And there we are, kicking off imaginary rocks. He says, all right, good. Everybody get up. I'm going to give you your part, your assignment on the raft. And he points to Travis and he says, you. Travis goes, yeah. He goes, I want you at the very front. I raised my hand. He said, yeah. I said, listen, Travis don't know how to swim. He said, I don't have time for your questions right now. Travis, get to the front. I said, so long, Travis, right? He says, all right, everybody on here, all right, big boy, come here. He gets me. He puts me on the raft. When I get on the raft, everybody on the raft and the raft begins to lift up into the air. He says, all right, we got to put you in a different spot. Get this weight distribution a little bit better, right? puts me in the back corner and he spreads everybody else across the wrath. He said, I need you to stay right here all day. It's imperative. The wrath can't get where it needs to go unless you get in this spot and stay here. Can I tell you, this church can't get where it needs to go unless you get in your spot and stay there. I'm telling you, I'm painting a picture for you today. We get the raft. He says, all right, when I say this, you're going to paddle to the left. When I say this, you're going to paddle to the right. When I say this, you're going to put your paddle straight in the air and you're going to duck your body down in the raft. Can we practice that? Everybody duck. We get down in the raft. Although I couldn't physically get down into the raft. Everybody else was tucked down in there. And he said, I said duck. And I said, I am ducking. He said, you're really going to struggle today. Everybody get the raft. We get the raft and we go to the bus and we get on the bus and we take out and we stop at a little building. He said, we're going to go in here. We're going to get our helmet and our life preserver. I said, great. We get out. We go in. I said, where's the biggest life preservers you got? He said, in the back. So I walk all the way to the back and I find one. He said, this is the biggest ones we've got. And I said, I don't think this is going to work. He said, we do it every day out here. I was like, all right. So I put that thing on, and it came to about my armpits. It took two people to stretch that vest out. Two people got on it and began to stretch it while somebody else put their foot right here in my chest with their toes right here. And they stretched that thing out, and they finally got enough where they could clip it. And when they did, that thing shot up on me like a crop top. Threw my arms in the air. How many of you have ever seen that movie, A Christmas Story? You know what I'm talking about? Ralphie's brother Randy. I can't put my arms down. You know what I'm talking about? I had my arms up in the air. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm Pentecostal, but I wasn't trying to praise the Lord in that moment, right? They put the helmet on me. It was like a mouthwash cup you get at the dentist. It just sat right there on the top. Everybody gets their phone out, and they're like, look at Brooks, you know. I'm like, great, this is going on the Facebook page. Fantastic, right? It didn't fit me. I was like, this ain't going to work. It don't fit. And some of you got into this lifestyle of serving him, and you got into this journey of doing ministry here at the church, and there's days you go home and you say, man, I don't know if this is for me. I don't know if this fits right. I told the guy, I said, this ain't going to work. And he said, just get on the bus. And so you're saying, this ain't going to work. And the Lord is telling you, just get on the bus today. We get to the river and we get out and we get the raft and we go over there and we're going to push in and get in our spot. And he said, hold on, I'm going to let this guy go through first. There's a guy on a kayak by himself. And he takes out down the river and he hits a rough batch of water and goes over the edge. And I never saw the guy again. And I looked at Travis and I said, Travis, you're going to die today. And the captain said, everybody get on the raft. And we get on the raft. And he says, all right, here we go. We take off on this journey of whitewater rafting. And we're going. And all of a sudden, the water begins to chop a little bit more. And I'm thinking, oh, no. And he says, all right, here we go. Our first rapid. When I say duck, duck. All right? You ready? Duck! And we go over the edge. And everybody else ducked while my whole upper body hung out like one of those fan advertising things you see on the side of the road. I'm screaming out of my mind. And I found out what it was like to get flushed down a toilet in that moment. And I'm screaming, oh, we're spinning out of control. And I said, this is it. This is how I go. And then all of a sudden it flushes me out. And by the grace of God, right, I'm alive. I made it. I tell the whole raft, we made it. Woo! I look at the guide. I said, I'm glad we made it through that. I don't want to do that again. He said, what do you mean not do that again? He said, wait till you see the next one. It's a real doozy. I thought, oh, no. And we're going down the river, and I see the empty rafts on the side. And he's telling us to go to the right, and I'm going to the left. He's telling us to go to the left, and everybody's paddling to the right. He's telling us to duck, and we're not ducking. And I'm going to tell you something. That raft wasn't getting down the river like it needed to. We were getting stuck on rocks and couldn't move, and he was hollering at us. He was saying, "You're not listening to me. You're going to die out here." Oh, what an encouragement, right? The raft could not get from point A to point B because nobody was on the same page and nobody was doing their part. You know, he has a destiny and a purpose for this church. And we haven't reached the end yet. And Rock Church can't get there unless everybody does their part and listens to what the captain is saying. We were weaving and bobbing and getting stuck and drifting. And the whole time, all I could see was the captain. He wasn't looking at us. I turned around and looked at him, and he was on the back of the boat, and he was looking out of the water ahead. His eyes were on the water ahead, and I thought, I wonder what he's looking at. He needs to be looking at me. What's he looking at? The whole time he's looking at the water ahead. Finally, we get to another rapid. He said, "You remember that one I was telling you about? Here it is. Everybody duck." We hit this rapid. And here's what happened. Everybody ducked while my whole upper body went outside of the raft underneath the water while my feet were still stuck in the raft. And I'm literally drowning under the water and can't pull myself up. And I'm under the water, and I'm going to tell you, it was a bad scene. All right? My crop top was up around my neck. My swimsuit had shot up on me like bikini bottoms. And I'm under the water, and I'm blah, 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 blah. I can't breathe. And I opened my eyes, and my contact lenses just went away. And I'm blah, blah, blah. And the whole time I'm thinking, where's Travis? And just about the time I black out, I see it. Two hands, they plunge in the water, and they grab me by my life preserver. And they bring me out just at the right moment. And there he is, the captain, nose to nose with me. And he's shaking me. And he's saying, "You have got to stay with me. You are going to die." I'm coughing up water. And he puts me back in the raft. I'm back in my spot. And I'm struggling. And I thought to myself, maybe my wife will comfort me with her words, right? And I look over at Brittany. And she's looking at me, and she's shaking her head with this look of disgust on her face. And she said, "You are so embarrassing." And she looked down, and she said, "Your thighs are so white." If you don't know your part, your wife will tell you. She said, "The captain, he's been telling you what to do the whole time, and you hadn't listened one time." We can't get this raft from here to there until you start listening to what the captain's telling you to do. And some of you are sitting here and you're saying, "My situation ain't that good." But you hadn't done anything that the Word has instructed you to do. "I don't know how to handle the situation." Well, you hadn't done anything that the Word has told you to do regarding how to handle that situation. You won't ever get there unless you listen to the captain. She's sitting here, she's telling me this, and the captain said, "She's right, you know." He said, "Come here, big boy." And he's looking ahead at the water. And the whole time he's looking, he's talking to me. And he said, "This raft will never get to the end unless you do what I'm asking." The whole raft's relying on you. Your family's relying on you today. Your church is relying on you today. Your pastor, he's relying on you today. The board of this church, they're relying on you today. You're part of the plan. dead. I thought maybe I should do what he's asking me to do. So here's what I did. When he said go to the left, I started going to the left. When he said go to the right, I started pushing my body to the right. When he started telling me to duck, I did my best to duck as good as I could. I squeezed in a little bit more, right? And I found something interesting. When I started to do what he was asking me to do, so did everybody else in the raft. And that raft began to move a little bit quicker. And that raft began to move a little bit straighter. And all of a sudden, we were getting somewhere. And all the whole time, there he is. He's looking at the water ahead. Scanning the water ahead. He said, big boy, there's another rapid coming up. He said, I'm going to tell everybody else to duck. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to shoot your body to the left as far as you can. Can you do that? And I said, you want me to do what? I'm going to tell them to duck, but I want you to throw your body to the left. Do you understand me? And I said, yeah. You know what? I don't understand why God asks us to do things sometimes, but he has a reason, don't he? We get to the rapid, and he said, all right, here we go. We're going to get ready to duck. He said, big boy, you ready? Yeah. He yells, duck, but then he pats me on the shoulder, and that was my cue. We go into the rapid, everybody ducks, and I throw my body to the left as far as I can. And when I did, here's what happened. I threw myself completely out of the raft. I thought, oh, I don't think that's what he meant. And I'm underneath the water, and I'm getting sucked underneath the water, and I am in full-on panic mode. I'm telling you, I am fearing for my life, and I'm hitting rocks left and right. And all of a sudden, as I'm panicking, and as I'm in this situation, I hear an echo in my mind, when you get thrown out of the raft. He knew. When you get thrown out of the raft. And then I remember the next thing. Get your body to the top. Put your feet in the direction the water is flowing so you can kick off the rocks. He gives you instruction on how to kick off the rocks. I got my body to the top, and I got my feet positioned, and I began to do what the captain had asked me to do. I began to kick off the rocks, and he was right. I was able to kick off everything that the river brought my way. Until all of a sudden, I got flushed out into a smooth patch of water. And I'm out there in this water, and I thought, oh, no, my raft is nowhere to be seen. I don't know how to get back. I felt like I was just drifting along. And I'm thinking, man, I'm dead in the water. And some of you felt like that before. You felt like you were dead in the water. And some of you came in here today and you felt dead. And I'm sitting there and I'm floating and I'm thinking, man. And then all of a sudden I look upstream and I see it. I see a little helmet bobbing in the water. And I tried my best to get over there. And when I get over there, it was my sister-in-law who had went on the trip with us. And she, when I got to her, she looked at me and she said, well, this is just great. You threw everybody out of the raft. And I said, where's Travis? She said, I don't know. I said, he died, didn't he? She said, probably. She said, we're lost and we're dead. And I'm getting ready to close if somebody would like to come play just very softly behind me. Katie, when I give you the cue, you can play. We're sitting there and we're lost. We're dead in the water, but all of a sudden it happened. I found out why the captain had been looking at the water the whole time because over the crest of the water behind us came another raft. And in that raft was a completely different set of people. But I found out something. That raft had a captain on the boat with them too. And I saw him as he's looking at the river ahead, and then all of a sudden it happened. He made eye contact with us. See, he had been looking at the river ahead the whole time because he had been looking for lost bodies. And when he saw us, this is what he said. He said, "There they are. They're lost. Pick them up." And I found it interesting that the captain wasn't the one doing the lifting. It was the people in the raft. We're the glove. We're the mouthpiece, right? And he gives them direction, and they pull that raft over there. And you know on the Titanic when they say the women and children first? I threw that logic out the window. Because they're loading up my sister-in-law, and I make my way over to the raft, and I grab her by her life vest, and I threw her off. And I said, "Oh, no, I'm going home today. If there's anybody that's going to live, it's going to be me today." And some of you need to make up in your mind today that you're not dead, that you're alive. Because when the captain is on the boat with you, everything is still alive and still in play. You're alive today. You're standing today. He put breath in your lungs because he has a purpose for your life. I said, "I'm alive and I'm going home." They pulled me up in the boat and I get up, and then all of a sudden I turn around and there was a little old lady in my spot. And I looked at her and I said, "You're in my spot." She said, "No, this is my spot." I said, "No, it's not." The captain told me that's my spot, and I said, "Trust me. It's good for the whole raft if you let me get in my spot." Well, I'm not moving. You know what I did? I backed up, and I pushed her out of the spot, and I nestled into my spot. And some of you, you need to find your spot, and I don't care what's in the way. If it's in the way of you and him, you need to get it out of the way. Some of you, it's a relationship that's no good. You need to get rid of that. Some of you, it's an addiction in the room, if we're being real, and it's in the way of you getting in your spot. And it's time for you to push it out of the way to make room for him on the journey. And I get in my spot, and I told the captain, "I'm going home today." And Katie, you can start playing. "I'm going home today." And he said, "You heard him?" And not only did I do what he asked me to do, but all of a sudden I became the echo of the captain in the raft. When he announced for us to go to the right, I echoed it. When he said go to the left, I echoed it. When he said duck, I echoed it. Hey, he said to duck. Some of you need to begin to echo what he's telling you to do. We're here to echo the Lord. They're lost and they don't even know it. But you echo. Some people don't know their place. But you see them and you echo. Echoed. And when I echoed, that raft began to move so fast it almost didn't even touch the top of the water. It was like poetry in motion. And we get to the end of the river, and there it is, a big hill, and the bus is up on top of it, and there's everybody on the hill from my original raft, and they're watching. But in the middle of them, there he is. There's my captain, and there he is, and he sees me. applause. I wonder what it's going to be like. We pull up on the shore of heaven, and there he is, the captain. And he said, I knew you could. I knew you could do it. I knew you would make it. I knew you would get here if you just did what I asked you to do. If you just echoed what I asked you to do. He's applauding. And all I could see was him. And I get out and I begin to walk through the water. And I get to him and he puts his arm around me and he says, I knew you would. I knew you could do it. I had to ask him a question. I said, I just got to ask you one thing. You told me to go to the left. Why everybody else ducked? And he began to laugh. He said, yeah, I do that from time to time. He said, I just wanted you to taste the river. He said, I knew that if I let you taste the river, you'd always be looking for me on the raft. Sometimes he allows you to taste defeat just so he can get the attention he needs to get from you. He's a good God that always turns it around. I wanted you to take.